Ich befinde mich in Fremantle, das kleine Hafenstädtchen im Süden von Perth, und treffe Mandy Coruna. Sie ist Anfang 50 und gehört zum Stamm der Noongar People.
I belong to like 4 Aboriginal grandparents. There were 3 of them that were stolen generation. They've come together all in country districts just around Perth. I cover the Pilbara and the Southwest.
Mandy ist Filmemacherin. Ihre Leidenschaft sind Filme über die Ureinwohner Australiens. Jetzt gerade hat sie sich eine Auszeit genommen und schreibt ihr erstes Buch über ihre Mutter.
I'm writing a book on my mum. She came from Three Springs, which is about 3 hours out of Perth, and she was only, you know, she grew up in a camp on the outskirts of Three Springs. So in 17 she came to Perth and she decided to get a job, and at that time there were a lot of teenage girls and that going into nursing factories around Perth, and at that time the Coolborough League had started up, a dance club.
Der Coolborough Club wurde 1947 gegründet und ermöglichte den Aborigines, ihren eigenen Tanzclub zu haben, denn es war ihnen zu dieser Zeit nicht erlaubt, das Stadtzentrum von Perth zu betreten, wie mir Mandy erzählt.
Initially was set up for Aboriginal and non-Indigenous people because there was a lot of mixed marriages going on at the time, so you know the people were saying, oh, you know, this will help. It's sort of like reconciliation. Then, and they really wanted Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people to come together and for a dance club.
Mandy's Mutter war begeistert vom Tanzclub.
Then it sort of shut down in the late part of the 40s, and then in the 50s it started up again, and that's the time that Mum came to Perth. So when she came, it was just mainly Aboriginal people going to the dances, and she found it was a great social event for her to get together and get to know people. Yeah, there was just a huge lot of people coming into the city from country towns and meeting here in Perth.
Es ist die Geschichte der Coolborough League und die Geschichte ihrer Eltern, die Mandy erzählen will.
I'm just talking about the dances with her, and Dad was the treasurer of the Coolborough League, and then she started being the secretary, and so they've got a lot of information about the Coolborough League that Dad stored away for when it closed down in the 1960s. That's when he collected most of their memorabilia from there. I'm sort of putting together a book of photos of Mum in the 50s with all the 50s gear on and all the dances that they went to, and I'm sort of, yeah, just showing a decade of her memoirs from 1952 to 1962.
Mandys Mutter hat ihrer Tochter auch von der Rassentrennung erzählt, die sie erlebt hat.
My mum's in her 70s. She was from an era, the era before Aboriginal people could vote. They only started voting in 1967. So for her, she's sort of come from this time where there were restrictions on, you know, you couldn't go into the city after 6 p.m. You couldn't do all these things. Whereas you had to, you know, sit right in the front of the theatre and everyone else sat at the back. You know, there was divisions between where you sat on a bus, and it was all like that in the 50s.
Ich will von Mandy wissen, wie sie die Situation der Ureinwohner heute einschätzt.
Now, it's sort of getting better, but you've still got a lot of people who have come from their grandparents and that being stolen. And so they're still trying to get their families back together. So they're still searching for family. And family is a strong cultural thing in the Aboriginal culture. You know, we really look after our family. So some of them are dysfunctional. And I find that the media always puts across the negative sides of Aboriginal people. You're like someone's stolen cars and things like that. You know, you'll see it on the news.
Betroffen macht Mandy insbesondere die Lage der Aborigines in den abgelegenen Gebieten.
In some of the isolated remote communities, their conditions are not that good. And it's mismanagement of the areas. There's a lot of child suicides going on in remote communities and that. When you go out to some of them, you know, you just, you see the living conditions of some of the housing and things like that. It's like the government has neglected them, or it's just something that's happened. And it's because these people have been moved into like one particular area, probably where they're not supposed to be, or you know, they've sort of tried to live there.
Aber sie sieht auch Hoffnung.
I mean, it's getting better in some areas. I know that, you know, some of the women are standing up and saying, no, we can't have the alcohol, the drugs, we can't have that out here anymore, and we've got a dry community. Dry communities are starting up, and it's getting better, but yeah, it's still with the technology and things that happen in the city where I grow up, you know, you think, why isn't it moving faster out there? But it's a slow process, I suppose.
7 billion stories and counting. SBS Radio.
Ich befinde mich in einem schönen alten Gebäude aus Kalkstein im Film- und Fernsehinstitut in Fremantle. Hier treffe ich Filmproduzentin Taryn Lafar.
I descend from the Bardi and Jabba Jabba Nations, from the Dampier Peninsula in the Kimberleys, Western Australia. My mum is from Broome and my grannies are from the Kimberleys, from North, and my father is from Europe.
Sie und ihr Produktionsteam arbeiten an einem einzigartigen Filmprojekt. Sie zeichnen die Geschichten und Überlieferung der Ureinwohner auf.
It's a statewide initiative to capture indigenous stories that are contemporary right through to a traditional story. I'm very privileged to be working with indigenous elders and community people. The preservation and archive program is about future generations and preservation. And what we do is we work with communities for up to 5 days filming and capture everything that we possibly can. And that's archived. But I'm also going back to the previous story owners and asking if they want to broadcast on NITV. So I'm organizing a broadcast deal for 15-minute stories for now.
Es sind viele überlieferte Erzählungen, die Taryn Lafar durch ihre Arbeit festhalten kann.
Well, there's different things around, depending on where you're from. You know, for example, in Broome, they've got the mangroves and they call them Gumbung Woman. That's the story they use to keep kids safe. Like if you go there by yourself or not with proper knowledge, then that Gumbung Woman, Red Dress Woman, they also call her, will come and grab you and keep you forever. So it's like these little things that they say for safety.
Die Ureinwohner Westaustraliens sind sehr glücklich über dieses Filmprojekt.
They're very happy actually, and there's evidence, lots and lots of evidence that we've captured. I mean, people are speaking straight. This is old people speaking straight to camera, which in a traditional world was taboo, interestingly. But people are expressing their absolute relief at being able to tell their future generations what they want.
Auch Taryn bekommt auf diese Weise die Möglichkeit, mehr von ihrer eigenen Geschichte zu erfahren.
Part of the reason I do this is because I don't have a bloodline proper and I don't have that access to knowledge. I know how important it is, you know. I know how important it is for me and for my children and then for grannies, you know, in order to know where you're going, you need to know where you come from, I believe. But it's really making people happy. Sometimes the film side of things is not easy to come to terms with. It's just the filming aspect and having big cameras in people's faces, but the idea of being heard finally, people are very happy to actually just have that and to have some record of their lives and their existences.
Ich will von Taryn wissen, wie sie die aktuelle Situation der Ureinwohner sieht.
I think there's a massive crisis in regards to the trauma of displacement from Blackfellas being taken from country, from families, and brought up without those people and resources, and that has a longer term effect. Also, the fears of accessing, you know, mental health doctors, teachers, police, they all sort of sit in that authority place, and sometimes countrymen don't feel as at ease to go and access that stuff. They don't feel heard necessarily, or there are no resources available because of the remoteness of being in the Kimberleys.
Taryn versteht nicht, wieso das Wissen der Ureinwohner nicht weiter genutzt wird.
The lack of recognition for Aboriginal Australia and the fact that we don't acknowledge that the wealth of knowledge that's there in regards to solving some of our contemporary problems and even including bush knowledge. For example, I used to go and pick this little fruit called gubbinge with my mother a few years ago, and it's the highest vitamin C plant in Australia, and we think oranges are something, and this has got, and it's that, it's tiny and it's just loaded with goodness, and that has properties that can be ingested, but it's also can be made into creams, and there's all this potential.
Besonders glücklich ist sie, wenn Ureinwohner Anerkennung erfahren.
There's some old blokes from the desert recently just won a healing prize, which was given out by the Australian Medical Association, and they're healers, the oldest proper way, traditional, and it's not Western in any way, shape or form. And they've been recognised just recently by the mainstream Western medicine as it being effective. They're not sure what's happening, but they've acknowledged it, which is really exciting, really amazing, because they're old people and they're not going to be with us for long, you know. And there's some resources around, but we don't explore them enough and we don't celebrate them enough, I don't think, with some of the people that are around who can give us some good information now, you know.
Und wenn sie mal nicht arbeiten muss, dann weiß Taryn ganz genau, wo sie wieder Energie tanken kann.
Well, where I come from is saltwater, and it's on the coast of WA, but at the very, very top. And we call it Lian, like a sixth sense, but also it's about that gut instinct, gut feeling. And I always feel amazing. I've just come back from up north and I've got some sun on me and I went in that sea and I just feel that much better from being there and being home.